What's that timer for, Steven?
Well, you know that nothing makes me happier than a fresh cup of coffee.
Ooh, I hope it's Buna Roaster's Yegrashef blend. That's my favorite.
Yegrashef.
Yes, it took me a little bit to get Yegrashef, but I've gotten it now.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's spelled that way, but Yegrashef, and it's my favorite.
Yes, we've mentioned repeatedly how much we love Buna Roaster and Blaine so much that Blaine did something actually special for our listeners.
And you're right, she did, being the best coffee we've had in our entire lives.
Absolutely.
She is giving everyone who listens 10% off their first order with the coupon code HAPPY so they can try it for themselves.
And I know our listeners would love her coffee not only for its flavor, but for the impact of your purchase.
Yes, Blaine is a wonderful human with a small business here in Sarasota that uses only the best Ethiopian coffee beans. She aims to empower and inspire the people they work with from beans to cup.
Yes, a percentage of all of her profits will be donated to the Fair Trade Farmers, Hope of Children, and Save the Children charities, all in Ethiopia.
So if you're ready for the best cup of coffee you will ever have, head on over to www.bunaroaster.com. That's BUNAROASTER.com, and place your order today.
Do not forget to use the coupon code HAPPY for 10% off. It's easy to remember since the coffee will certainly make you happy.
And speaking of happy, let's head on over to our episode.
Hello, returning happies and new listeners. This is Steve Bennett Martin.
And this is Stephen Martin Bennett. And welcome to A Lifetime of Happiness,
the podcast where we take you on our journey through some of the movies, TV shows, and other bits of pop culture that are helping keep us happy while hopefully bringing a smile to your face along the way.
And today, we're looking to discuss being a part of your world under the sea with all of you poor unfortunate souls.
Yes, today we'll be talking about our favorite ocean-themed movie, Jaws.
Babe.
Okay, it is The Little Mermaid. But first, my love, what's been making you happy?
So, it's been making me happy, and it's been annoying you because it's a horrible earworm, but it's so fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's the song UK Hun by the United Kingdolls from RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Yes, they always do musical challenges every season on Drag Race, and this year's UK one led to a musical number that was very catchy in a bad way for me and a great way for Steven.
Yes, because it's all about the ding-dang-dong, sing-sang-song, bing-bang-bong, UK hon.
But then it's stuck in your head all day long. So.
But it's so good. It makes me so happy.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you've been enjoying it so much.
Okay, what's making you happy?
I would say what's been making me happy is the time off that I took for the Senior Living on the Sun Coast, our sister podcast, but also the fact that I now have a couple additional newer recordings under our belt, and season two is going to be starting very soon. So it's been happy getting back into podcasting professionally as well as personally here for fun.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yes. And a little bit of happy news for everyone out there, but especially a little bit of your heart.
Yes. So most people know that I moved here from Cincinnati, Ohio, and recently, and there's anybody that knows Cincinnati knows that they're is a East Side versus West Side rivalry, and there's also a
West Side Story. Is that Cincinnati?
No, that's New York, darling.
It's the same idea.
A little bit.
Like East Side, West Side. Oh,
back to this.
Okay.
So University of Cincinnati, UC, and Xavier are also rivals in town. And so somebody from one of the, like an alumni from one of the universities, left a large tip at a restaurant and like did a social media post saying, okay, Xavier, your turn. And so it's kept going back and forth with UC and Xavier people trying to out tip each other. Mm-hmm. And you know that during this time where a lot of restaurants aren't at capacity, of course, and servers make most of their money off of tips. For the last year, a lot of servers haven't been making money. But since this tipping war started, and this news was over a week old when I found it, they the tipping war has already raised over $34,000 for restaurant workers in Cincinnati.
That is excellent. Well, we should start a tipping war here.
Well, that I think
I don't know who he would challenge. It's Sarasota versus Bradenton.
Sarasota versus Bradenton sounds really good.
We're gonna win. I win everything I try, though.
Well, you're just
that's why we
that
have
way.
To be on a team together, because you're competitive too.
Super competitive.
Like, yes,
Mario Kart, Mario Party, Taboo, like
pretty much anything where there's winners or losers. That's why a lot of our games that we play, they're multiplayer co-op.
Yes, very true.
Yes, and speaking of games, we actually have our Binge and Purge section is mostly about video games this week.
So why don't you start?
Yes, well, I have been binging Persona 5 Royal, which is on the PlayStation 4, and Persona is a series based off of, or like, in the shimmy... Or sorry.
You almost said Shimmy Kimmy Timmy. Because
yes, the proper name of the series is Shin Megami Tensei.
And I couldn't be bothered to remember it whenever we were first dating. And so I always was just like, are you just playing that Shimmy Kimmy Timmy game?
And I would say, yes, I was. And so with Persona, he hasn't had a fun name with that like he has some of my other games.
No, because that one's easy to remember.
Yes, it is. But the Persona games typically do have a deluxe edition of some sort, and Royal is this one. And I am now just about caught up to where the ending was of the first go around. And I know from just doing research in Google, there's a whole third semester. But even the content of replaying the game, it's so stylistic. The soundtrack is great.
The soundtrack is so good.
The characters are great. So I'm doing this in order to get ready for Persona 5 Scramble.
Try again. It's Persona 5 Strikers.
Oh, it's Strikers. Well, it was Scramble in the Japan where it came out.
Oh, okay. And well, it is Strikers here.
It is Strikers here. But yes, I've been excited for it for the longest time, and it is coming in the next week. By the time that this comes out, it will already be out. So that's what I'll be playing when it's out.
If you can finish that third semester in time.
I got it, babe. I've been playing for what, like a week and a half, and I'm at 65 hours into the game, so I'm making good progress.
I've forgotten what you look like.
No, I play on the we set up the extra TV in our living room so that we could watch TV while I play my PS4 in a separate TV. So
I know.
You are right next to me. Don't lie to our listeners, babe.
Well, while you are playing that, I have been playing BioShock 2. It's continuing my BioShock trilogy, because I finished BioShock 1 Remastered.
Yes, and so, would you kindly tell us about your thoughts and opinions on it now that you've finished it?
It was so good, and like I knew something was coming, and I knew there was something up with that guy, but I was totally shocked whenever the whole switch happened, and I don't want to say anything in case somebody listening hasn't played it yet, even though it's old. It's that good of a twist. I don't want to spoil it. I don't know if BioShock 2 is going to have that twist, but because of BioShock 1, there's already somebody in the game. I'm like, I don't trust you. I'm sorry. You can have a nice southern accent, but I'm ready for it to switch and you'd be British all of a sudden or something like that. So
yeah,
I'm almost done with that. I just entered the last area. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know, you'll be reporting back on BioShock Infinite.
Yes. And one of the nice things is, some of the things that I felt needed some work on the first game, they actually fixed going into the second game. I was like...
Like the hacking mini game?
The hacking mini game is one, and also using the first aid kits. There were so many times where I would accidentally hit a button in the first game, and now you have to hit a combination of two to make it work so you're not wasting a first aid kit. And just certain things run so much better. BioShock 1 had a better story, and I also think better set design, mm-hmm. but the quality of life improvements in BioShock 2 are incredible, so it's nice to have that.
I was going to say, and I remember when it came out playing it on the online multiplayer, mm-hmm. and it was a mix of the BioShock gameplay with like GoldenEye-type settings,
because
we were all playing as different people in Rapture, and it was just, I remember that was a blast. So two binges.
And I don't consider this a purge.
And something that we just began binging, and you can do a quick binge and catch up, is Clarice.
Yes, it is a continuation of Silence of the Lambs. great, great movie, Jodie Foster from back in the day.
Yeah, and so Hannibal
Hannibal Lecter.
I was going to say, people know it, Hannibal, sometimes even more before they know it by Silence of the Lambs. At least that was me when I was younger.
And so this takes place 1 year after the whole Buffalo Bill Hannibal Lecter saga. And we're seeing how instant notoriety, as well as some other things, affect Clarice with her job with the FBI. And the production values are really, really good. But one note to the producers of Clarice: you are signifying that she is from West Virginia. It would have probably been good to call one person that lived in West Virginia, because whenever Clarice says that she's from Kanawha County, no one in West Virginia pronounces it that way. It's Kanawha County, and it's where the state capital is, and it made me very sad for all of you involved with the Clarice production.
Yes, but other than that, you've been beaming. I mean, you've brought that up a couple times since watching it, but at the same time, we're both loving every episode.
The show is amazing, and honestly, it's not something you would usually find on network TV.
Yeah.
This is something like people would say, oh, that's from HBO or Showtime or even Netflix.
Yeah, I wish we could be binging it right now in full. But, you know, by the time you're listening to this, listeners, you can catch up on the first handful of episodes and then catch it up week by week.
Yes. And now, darling, what was the reason that we decided to go with the movie that we're doing?
Well, that is easy enough to explain, my love.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there.
Yes. So, I mean, after a rough couple days when we were planning this episode, I was like, we need to go somewhere fun, do a fun episode, something lighthearted. So Little Mermaid it was.
And Little Mermaid happens to be my all-time favorite Disney musical.
Oh, yes. I did not have to twist your arm very hard to get you to agree to it.
No, this... we watched this a lot growing up. I had cousins that only lived about an hour away, and I would go spend 2 weeks with them in the summer. And my younger cousin, Lindsay, was obsessed with this movie.
Yeah.
So every day that I was there for 2 weeks, we watched it every day. So by the time I came home, I had seen it, you know, before then, but now I had 14 more times under my belt.
Yeah.
So I can pretty much recite the movie
with
inflection and everything like that. And it doesn't get old for me. There's something that I just love so much about it.
Yes. No, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, I have lots of memories around the movie, and I know we'll get into discussing the music later, but with, you know, my dad fell in love with the soundtrack more than it, like any of the other Disney movies that I had. So, you know, I remember.
I'm going to get into that in a bit.
But for those of you who happen to not know their Disney movies or princesses somehow, wow, congratulations. That's, you know, something you must have tried for at this point. Thank you for giving us this chance. But it's a 1989 Disney movie directed by Ron Clements and John Musker, and the music is by Alan Menken.
Yes.
It's starring the voices of Jodie Benson, who plays Ariel.
Christopher Daniel Barnes as Eric.
Pat Carroll as Ursula.
Samuel E. Wright as Sebastian, and many other talented performers.
Yes, and it was quite the success. It has a budget of $40 million, but it had a box office of $233 million.
And back in 1989, that was huge.
Yes, and I think since then they've made a couple dollars in merch and things like that.
Just a little bit.
Yes, and so IMDb describes the movie as: a mermaid princess makes a Faustian bargain in an attempt to become human and win a prince's love.
Yes.
Yes. I watched the movie. I know exactly what it's about, but I don't know what the heck a Faustian bargain. Who is he?
Well, lucky for you, I looked and consulted Dr. Internet.
Okay.
And a Faustian bargain is a pact whereby a person trades something of supreme moral or spiritual importance, such as personal values or their soul, for some worldly or material benefit, such as knowledge, power, riches, or legs.
Okay. Yes. Like legs for a voice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yes. So with that bargain, I mean, that is what the movie's about. I just thought it was very interesting that they use such a complicated word in the description.
Yeah, because if some kid's looking up
things. Like, what is Little Mermaid? And then it's like a Faustian bargain. What?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not a word that most people use in their daily life.
Yes, but it is based, like many fairy tale Disney movies, on a Danish literary fairy tale written by Hans Christian Andersen. It's following the story of a young mermaid who's willing to give up her life in the sea as a mermaid to gain a human soul.
And just like every other Disney fairy tale with princesses and things like Snow White and Cinderella and all of this that have book they're being adapted from books. The books are super dark. Like, yes. If you ever read the Brothers Grimm of Cinderella, mm-hmm. super, super dark.
Oh, yeah. Because the whole idea of this is that mermaids don't have souls. She wanted to have the soul because if not, when they die, they just basically turn to seafoam and just float up to the, like, and never exist ever again. Mm-hmm. So it's a similar process, except that the way that it ends basically is that she lets herself die and becomes part of the wind to help people for 300 years so that she can go to heaven one day.
Yeah. And in this one, Prince Eric chose another woman.
Yes.
And so she was originally going to kill herself, and her sisters were like, no, here, we've cut off our hair, we made you a dagger, you kill the prince, and you can come back to being a mermaid, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, and she decided not to. So yep. She was, like, good in the end, but really super dark. But, you know, thinking back to when these books and everything were told, that life was hard. But these were stories that were still told regularly. I think it's only, you know, in the past few decades where we really are protecting our children rather than scaring the shit out of them on purpose. Because I don't know about you, but I know my parents, like, told me some super dark shit just to fuck with me.
Yeah, no.
And, like, to get me in trouble.
No.
Your parents never did things like that?
No. You know, Mama Martin and Papa Martin, do you really think that that's something that they would do?
I don't know, maybe. But, I mean, I just wonder why we stopped scaring kids, because it seemed to work.
Okay, so the world's hard enough as it is. Kids are forced to grow up a lot sooner now, thanks to social media and bullying and so many other things. I think anything we can do to help kids stay kids is good.
Yeah, I was always told, like, don't take candy from a stranger because they'll put you in their van and then they'll kidnap you and then you'll never see us again. You'll be dead.
Okay, so we all learned that lesson, not to that in degree. Like, we also had the Berenstain Bears Don't Talk to Strangers book.
Yeah.
Which I had to read several times because, you know me, I've never met a stranger.
Yeah.
And I just talk to people.
Yes.
But yeah, like, we all had those lessons.
You mean the Berenstain Bears.
That's what I said.
Or the Bernstein Bears.
No, it's this weird thing that we're now in an alternate universe where people pronounce it Berenstain Bears. And I'm like, no, when I was growing up, it was the Berenstain Bears.
I just remember it being the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
And so I.
And now, like, there's no proof that that was ever the name.
That is so strange.
I know. Dun, 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 dun. Like, so something happened and we all went to an alternate universe, but some of us remember the correct pronunciation of the Berenstain Bears.
It's like the world without shrimp from Buffy.
Sure.
Yes. Now, with this movie being a movie that we've watched again and again and continue to watch again and again, what are some of the things that you love about it so much?
Okay. So I love the songs from this. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there are any bad songs. I think that they're all stellar. I think this is actually one of the strongest Disney princess soundtracks overall. This is one of the first ones where the villain is really more fleshed out. It's not the first villain song, but it is one of the best songs, and the villain gets to sing it. It's just well done. It's happy. I really enjoy it. I've always enjoyed it. And I don't care if it's problematic about telling people that, you know, they should change who they are to get the love of their life. I still enjoy it.
Well, I think that ultimately in the end, you find out that that's not necessarily true because all of the bad shit happened because she tried to
change yourself. Yeah.
So, you know, and like, you know, the villain was the one who was saying, you know, the men up there don't like a lot of brother. Yeah. So, you know, with that, you know, the villain was saying that. So I think they were trying to say that, like, that's not true. And that, like, you do, like, need to just find someone to love you as is.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of wonderful characters.
Yes, certainly. I mean, in addition to the Princess Ariel, who was inspired by Alyssa Milano.
Which I think is, you can totally see it if you look at the animation and you look at how old Alyssa Milano was on Who's the Boss back then.
When they drew it, yeah.
But Ariel's a great character. She's headstrong, which was different than previous Disney princesses at that time.
Yes, I mean, she also was a big jump in timelines of release from the last Princess movie, wasn't it? It was 30 years almost, around?
It was a long time.
Yes, and I think that part of the reason why that she was stronger is because a lot of times they already are damseled from the start or damseled pretty quickly, but she also had some great friends like Flounder, who was always my favorite.
Flounder was always really cute.
He's a Hufflepuff, I would say. So I think that's probably why I liked him.
Oh, yeah. And Jodie Benson is super talented as the voice of Ariel and with the songs. And I also love that later on in Enchanted, which is kind of like a live-action Disney princess movie, Jodie Benson plays McDreamy's secretary.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And so I was like, oh, it's Princess Ariel in real life.
Yes.
And it's just really good. But Flounder is fantastic. Sebastian was
every dad's best friend.
Oh, yeah. All dads love Sebastian for some reason.
Well, I think he originally was written just to have a normal accent. Well, just like
he was supposed
else.
To be like a butler. Yeah. He was supposed to be like a British butler, kind of like from Downton Abbey.
Yeah, and they changed his accent to Caribbean for the Under the Sea song, and just it was wildfire from there. I remember like the person who, the voice actor who did the singing for Sebastian, like had Sebastian's concerts almost, like were live action back then. Like the Disney Channel. So I remember that going viral.
And then, of course, even though he's not under the sea, one of her other best friends, Scuttle.
Yes, Scuttle, who...
The king of fake news.
Yes, exactly. I love Scuttle. And the different words. Like, that would be my role in The Little Mermaid, which is to make up names to tell, like, the Little Mermaid who doesn't know anything. Like, part of me wants to headcanon that Scuttle knows exactly what the names of those objects are. And he's just, like, making them up just to, like, screw around with Ariel. I know that there's nothing to lead that idea, but if you thought of that, wouldn't that be very funny if he's just like, let me just trick this bimbo?
Yeah, it would be very funny, but I can also being like, you're Scuttle and I'm Sebastian, and you're sitting there like, this is a dingle hopper, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, babe.
I know. Well, Sebastian didn't go up with her often enough to help. But yes, but speaking of, I mean, she had a lot of friends, unlike Ursula, but ultimately, who did you want to win, Ursula or Ariel?
This was the beginning of me wanting villains to win or at least not die. And Ursula was amazing. She had so much personality, like right here.
What I want from you is
your voice.
My voice?
You've got it, sweet cakes. No more talking. Singing, zip.
But without my voice, how can I...
You'll have your looks, your pretty face. And don't underestimate the importance of body language. The men up there don't like a lot of blabber. Yes, our land is much preferred
for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle prattle for?
So she's just amazing. And that song is... fantastic. Like, one of the things that, you know, as an adult, you look at it and you see Ursula may have gone out of her way to try to stop the kiss from happening, but she was not in the wrong. She had a signed contract.
Yes,
Ariel did not abide by the terms of the contract. She lost. She didn't get the kiss by the end of 3 days. And it's just... like, Ariel tried to break the bargain at that point, and, you know, Ursula isn't totally the villain.
No, I mean, Nicole Byer, who I love, does this whole bit in her Netflix comedy special, which you should check out, about how Ursula was like the victim and the hero. I mean, she was wronged by everyone because she didn't look like everyone else. And then she, you know, was trying to teach Ariel this nice lesson that you don't have to change yourself to go up to where all the pretty people are.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, largely beautiful and, you know, that she just was a victim of the circumstances, because there is an untold story in this version of the movie between her and Triton.
Yeah. So in the Broadway musical, Ursula and Triton are brother and sister, and they shared the ocean until Triton banished her. And so it's just like this, where she's been banished.
Yep.
But you can also 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon and connect The Little Mermaid to another Disney musical, because Triton is the son of Poseidon. Poseidon is the brother of Zeus. Zeus's child is Hercules. That would mean Ariel and Hercules are cousins.
Yes, that is excellent. And that is that's not the only correlation within this movie to another Disney movie now, isn't it?
No, do tell, darling.
Well, we also find that the ship that Ariel was exploring is actually the ship that Anna and Elsa's parents were lost at sea on.
According to all the drawings and everything like that, it really
is.
That's the entire canon, that it looks like it's all related that way. And if you've seen Frozen, then you've also seen the girl from Tangled.
So they're all connected.
Yeah, goes to the coronation at the end, and it's post her cutting her hair off, and it's brown. So these are all really connected.
Yes. So this version of the Inception Disney edition is brought to you by the Steves.
But did you know, like, the really sad part? You've seen The Princess and the Frog with Tiana?
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, Sebastian ended up in a dish at Tiana's restaurant.
Okay. Well, no, that's okay. I was afraid you were going to say, like, the frogs were used by the chef in Le Poisson.
Well, that does bring us to songs, and we can actually start with Le Poisson.
Okay. Wait, which one was Le Poisson again? How does it go? What's the word that you hear over and over again?
Le Poisson.
Le Poisson. Les poissons, how I love les poissons. Love to chop and to serve little fish. First I cut off their heads and I pull out their bones. Ah mais oui, ça c'est toujours délicieux.
Les poissons, hee hee hee, ha ha ha.
So that was my cousins and I, after watching it all the time. That was something that we did all growing up. We would do the les poissons, hee hee hee, ha ha ha. All the time. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't annoying for our parents at all.
Yes, and as we hinted with Under the Sea, that is a wonderful song, but it is certainly tested high with the dads.
Yeah, that is the favorite Disney song of dads everywhere. I know it is with my father.
Dad.
Yep. And it's really interesting that that's the song. And I can't even tell you why dads love it.
I think it's the same way. Like, my dad also loved, like, the Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And
my dad,
you know,
did,
the, like,
too.
Kind of like the tropical feel.
I don't know. It's a good song. Dads love it. I enjoy it.
Yes. And one song that actually created this giant trend in Disney movies going forward, and it was the first of its kind, was Part of Your World.
Uh-huh.
So, just in case you forgot what Part of Your World is, let me help you.
I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see, them dancing.
And so, as much as it's a beautiful song, I chose that clip because that is actually what the song ends up being called by the Alan Menken, and it becomes this whole I Want, he calls it the I Want song.
So that's kind of like in Beauty and the Beast, where at the beginning of that provincial town. Bonjour, yeah.
Yes, Bonjour Hercules, Go the Distance.
Yeah.
You know, and they moved it up earlier because that was about the 15-minute mark in this movie, and they made it sooner and sooner, but it became this trend. And it is great from a narrative standpoint, where one of the first songs in a movie is the main character singing what their heart's desire is.
That is really good. Did you know that this movie or this song almost didn't make it in the movie because Disney executive Jeffrey Katzenberg wanted to cut the song because he watched a test screening and he saw a couple 5-year-olds more focused on their popcorn during this song than the song itself. And he said, kids don't like it. Take it out. And everyone involved was like, come on, you give it a chance. Mm-hmm. And so they had him watch another test screening and everyone loved it. Adults, children, everything like that. So a couple kids who, you know, 5-year-olds aren't going to pay attention to everything. He almost destroyed one of the most famous songs in the Disney canon because some kids were excited by popcorn and couldn't sit still.
Yes. Well, I bet he feels like an asshat now.
He
doesn't care because he's very well off.
Well, he is very embarrassed by it. And especially now that everyone knows as well.
Yes. And then with Kiss the Girl, that was just a song that I really enjoyed.
Oh, it's just a really, really good song. I love the way that it's done. It's Sebastian's other song.
Yes. And it's very well choreographed.
Oh, and just between all the other birds and amphibians and fish that are involved and helping with it, it's beautiful. It's romantic. And I love that song so much.
Yeah, and part of the reason or how the artist got the facial expressions, especially in that scene and the realistic ways that the water was moving, was actually because they brought back this old technique of live action references for the artists to get the movements just right. And so in the documentary that I saw, the little short on this, it actually showed, you know, humans that they were recording on it, like a little screen sound stage, but they were like in a boat doing the rowing motions as the camera was panning around. And then the artist got to kind of watch that and use it to draw. And I think that technique worked out really well for the results.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at now, whenever they use motion capture technology now,
that's kind of what the inspiration behind it was.
Absolutely. But then the best song in the whole movie is this.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them?
Yes, indeed.
Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true.
I mean, just so good. It's, you know, it really gives, I mean, she's warning her in advance of all this stuff. But it's just kind of sexy and it's fun and it's funny and it has a beat and things that aren't seen in a lot of Disney things because it is a little darker. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's just fantastic. It moves the plot along really fast.
It does, because I mean it tells a great story. Funny story about Ursula. What do you consider, what is she?
I mean, I grew up thinking she was a squid or an octopus.
Yes. Well, she's technically known as a Cecilia. That is the fancy term, not medical, because people don't medically have this happen to them. But it is the word based off of the mythological half woman, half octopus, even if they did get the number of her tentacles wrong, I think.
Because she has 6 and they're counting her arms as the other 2.
Yes.
I guess.
But and there's another reason now in hindsight, because I'm sure when you were watching this when you were little, you just knew that you loved her because you loved her. But nowadays, the inspiration behind her character
is based off of the drag queen Divine.
And we know what we love our drag queens.
We love our drag queens and something that's fun. And you could see her doing really well with this because of her theater background. But they originally went to Bea Arthur to do Ursula. Oh. But B turned it down and just didn't think that it was right for her. And then they talked to Elaine Stritch, and I personally don't think that Elaine Stritch was right for this. So then they went to Pat Carroll, and it's iconic. Like, Good job, Pat Carroll.
Yes, good job indeed. Now, this is also, you know, one of the Disney musical movies that has been also turned into a musical. And
it's on Broadway.
It's on Broadway. And now they're also in the process of making it into a live action movie.
I'm super excited for it. And it's been taking forever. And I know that the pandemic slowed it down as well. But I will be there opening night when this happens. And they have a very interesting cast. Some of them, one of them I wasn't too sure about. But we'll start with David Diggs from Hamilton.
Yes, I didn't know him by name. But when I saw his face, I knew exactly who he was. Because he was the one with the very tight curly hair.
Yeah, and he is actually my favorite male performer in Hamilton. He's going to be Sebastian. One of our favorite funny ladies, Awkwafina,
is going to be Scuttle, which is going to be awesome.
Yep.
I also love a good gender.
Jacob Tremblay from the movie Room that we saw where they were held in that guy's basement for years.
Sure.
It's a dark movie, but he did a very good job. He's going to be Flounder.
Yep.
Javier Bardem is going to be Triton. Halle Bailey from the music group Chloe X Halle. And from the TV show Grownish will be Ariel. And then the casting that I'm just not sure about, but I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. Melissa McCarthy as Ursula. She's very talented. She's a great actress. She's funny. She is a great full-bodied comedian with, using her whole... She uses her arms, her whole body, her face. She's very, very talented. I've never heard her sing.
Yeah, the singing is what I think will be important because she'll be great with the physicality of the role.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how she does, and I'm staying happy and hopeful.
Well, yes, and even though my original casting was Queen Latifah.
Yes. Now, I mean, we got through most of the little fun bits of trivia while I went through this. I know that in the opening scene where we're getting to, they're going to be announcing Ariel, but she's not there. You meet all of her other sisters, and they all together make up a rainbow once you include Ariel. So I love that little...
That is really cute that they're all there, their hair and their little tails and rainbow collar.
Now, especially since... Triton is based in Greek mythology and the way that they all really sleep around. If they get their tail color from their mother, or we'd assume that these are all half sisters and maybe he just had seven different mothers for these seven different girls.
So I think we are definitely to assume that because Halle Bailey is black in the live action. Mm-hmm. Javier Bardem is Hispanic. So it'll be interesting, Ariel's other sisters.
Oh my god, I would love it if he was canonically a giant man whore and there was one of every color almost for their kids, literally.
If there were an Asian mermaid and a little white girl mermaid where Ariel's going to be a black girl. I think that would be fantastic.
Yes, you're welcome, Disney, for that idea.
But one of the great things, also, you were talking about that opening scene where it's Sebastian's big concert.
Yeah, you want to be looking closely.
You have to be looking closely because all the times that I'd ever seen it until Dr. Internet told me about this, I never saw it. But Mickey, Donald, and Goofy are in the opening shot there. They're all underwater.
Yep, they're all mer versions of themselves.
Yeah. Goofy's the one you can pick out the most, though.
Yes, he sticks out a little bit.
Well, darling, do you have a final thought about The Little Mermaid?
I mean, I'll say it once, I'll say it again.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there.
So, I mean, if you have listened to this without rewatching it beforehand, because we all know how the movie works and what the big plot points are, but you haven't watched it in a little bit, go watch it again. I bet it'll bring a smile to your face, and hopefully after hearing us talk about it, you'll find a little something new in it this time around.
And if for some reason you don't enjoy The Little Mermaid, you, my dear, poor unfortunate soul.
Yes, but I'm sure that won't apply to any of our listeners, because they're all wonderful, and... If you listeners want to get involved in the conversation about The Little Mermaid, you can always email us for this or any future episode ideas and topics at happylifepod@gmail.com.
And you can get in touch with us on all the socials. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all of them at Happy Life Pod. That is HappyLifePod.
Yes, and stay tuned next week as we celebrate Super Mario's 35th birthday.
Yes, it is Mario Day, March 10th.
Yes, so we will be covering Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
Super who?
It's me, Mario.
Yes, so we will see you then, and until then...
Hello!
And until then...
Stay happy.
Stay...